Why believe that Jesus is the only way to God? There are something like 4,200 different belief systems known in the world. And when I say belief systems, I include in that group even atheism. And I stand here this evening with what some may say is an outrageous claim, that out of the 4,200 belief systems in the world, ranging from Buddhism to Hinduism or atheism, I want to say that biblical Christianity is the only true way to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you are here this evening and you say immediately, well, are there not many ways to God? Aren't there many roads that may get us there? Isn't belief and faith personal? It might be true for you, but it might not be true for me. Why believe that Jesus is the only way to God? Can the 1.5 billion people who follow Islam all be wrong? Can the secular, agnostic, and atheistic people, of which we estimate is something like 1.1 billion people in the world, can all these people be wrong? What about the 900 followers of Hinduism? Or the 376 million Buddhists in the world? Can they all possibly be wrong? It may seem unfair and unjust and incredibly arrogant of me to stand here this evening and to make the claim that Jesus is the only way to God. Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. What I want to do this evening is give you three clear reasons why I can say that, why Jesus is the only way to God, and then also deal with four objections to that statement. The first point then, the first reason I want to give you why I believe that Jesus is the only way to God is that Christians did not invent this statement. It's something that Jesus said of himself. Christians claim that Jesus is the only way to God because Jesus claimed this of himself. Pete read from John's Gospel, and if you have your Bibles, we are briefly going to consider John 14 and verse 6. That's page 1082 in the Church Bible. And these really are radical and yet clear words that the Saviour spoke. In John 14, verse 6, he speaks of himself in these ways. Look at the exclusive nature of what Jesus Christ says. I am the way and the truth and the life. And if that wasn't exclusive enough, he goes further and says, no one comes to the Father but through me. If you turn back a few pages to John chapter 8, verse 24, the Lord Jesus says something else that's radical and exclusive, speaking to some people who were actually opposing him and against him. He says these words. That's page 1074. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Friends, what we need to understand is when Jesus makes these claims concerning himself, he is speaking with incredible authority. He is speaking with the authority of God. So when Jesus speaks, God speaks. So when Jesus speaks about matters of life and death, of heaven and hell, of life and forgiveness and salvation, we cannot afford to ignore him. Because in ignoring him, we are ignoring the God who gives us life and breath and strength, actually, even to deny the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you thought about this? That the very next heartbeat that we have is given to us by a God that we may choose to deny. So when Jesus speaks, God speaks. Maybe you're here this evening, and I want to ask you, have you ever seriously considered what Jesus actually said? He spoke the greatest words, and he speaks with clarity and with power and with life, giving truth to those who will receive his words. He is the greatest teacher who ever opened his mouth, and he speaks with the authority of God. One of the things we want to do here is to encourage you, if you haven't done so, to consider the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider some of the things that he said. He speaks precious and wonderful and marvelous truths. He could point to himself and say, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. That's John 6, verse 35. Jesus, of course, is speaking in a spiritual sense, saying that in him there is complete and total satisfaction. There are those spiritual desires that are filled in him alone. I think some of you may have heard about Solomon yesterday morning. Did you know that King Solomon was so rich that every year he was paid something like 12 metric tons of gold? And he was incredibly rich. And yet, when he looked at all his wealth and all that he had and all that he achieved, which was significant, he could say it's empty, it's vanity. It doesn't satisfy the deep longings of my heart. And the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, points to himself as the one who meets the greatest spiritual needs. Jesus could point to himself and say, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of light. You know, when we're in the dark, we don't know the way forward. We maybe get frightened, and maybe we're anxious. We can't see the way ahead, and a light shines, and we see the way ahead. Well, that glorious spiritual light of God shines brightly in the Lord Jesus Christ. He could say of himself, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's John 10, verse 11. What a statement that is. The good shepherd who protects, who provides, who leads, who guides, and who's willing to give himself for his people so that by his death, you and I can be forgiven and cleansed and made right with God. He makes the ultimate sacrifice. I am the good shepherd. And this morning we saw that Jesus could point to himself and say, again in John's Gospel, John chapter 11, verse 25. That's page 1078. I am the resurrection and the life. What an incredible statement to make. The one who has power of life and death in his hands, as it were. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Friends, that is the great hope of every true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then our verse that we are considering this evening, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. These are radical and yet true claims. Jesus could open his arms wide and invite people just like you and me to come to him. In Matthew's gospel, he says these words, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Are you restless tonight? Do you know your heart speaking to you? That aching emptiness? Are you restless? Do you need to find that rest in Jesus Christ? That's the great invitation that the Saviour makes through his words. And not only did the Saviour claim that he was the exclusive way to God, but his followers confirmed what he said. Peter, when he preached on the day of Pentecost and later on in Acts chapter 4, made this same claim. He said, salvation is found in no one else, not in humanity or technology or in ourselves. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. What is that name? It is the name Jesus Christ and all that he is and all that he has done. Paul, when writing to Timothy, says these words in 1 Timothy 2, 5. I'll read them to you. There's no need to turn. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. What is a mediator? A go-between. Someone who joins extreme factions or parties. That's what Jesus does. He joins the extremes. The holy God and you and I who are not holy and who haven't done right and haven't kept God's standard. And the Bible declares honestly that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And so it's not arrogant for Christians to make such an exclusive claim concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, because a Christian is someone who follows Jesus Christ and recognizes his authority, submits to his lordship, and values what he said. So if we come to understand that Jesus makes this claim about himself, this is not something that the church has made up to win people to its own cause. What we are dealing with tonight in John 14, verse 6, are the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So that's the first reason why we believe that Jesus is the only way to God, because he claimed it for himself. But the second reason I want to give you, why I believe Jesus is the only way to God, because of who he is and what he did. If you turn to the start of John's Gospel, and I've quoted quite a lot from John's Gospel, so if you were to start to read the Bible somewhere, can I recommend that you begin with John's Gospel? Because John's Gospel was written that you might know that Jesus is the Son of God, and in believing in him that you might have life. So that's page 1063. This is what John says. When he speaks about the Word, he's speaking about Jesus as the eternal Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Listen to this. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. What an incredible thing to claim. John claims that the one who he refers to as the Word, who is the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, was with God from the beginning, before the beginning. He was God, and through him, all things were made. That includes you and me. That includes the sun that is 93 million miles away, and light travels at 186,000 miles per second from the sun, and it takes 8 minutes to get here to the earth. And that's just a small part of this galaxy, which is immense and beyond my description to you. And there's millions and billions of galaxies on top of that. And all these things were put in place by the eternal Son of God. We're told it in the New Testament, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And elsewhere, we are told that he sustains all things by his powerful words. Jesus is the only way to God, friends, because he is God. And he took upon himself human flesh and human nature and lived amongst us in this world 2,000 years ago. He became a man. At the same time, he remained God. And in doing so, he provided that way, that only way, that you and I can find forgiveness with God. Why is Jesus the only way to God? Because every person who's ever lived, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, is separated from God by their sin and in need of forgiveness. Now, some of you, I don't know, but I do know this. I am someone who, by my sin, by my choosing to rebel against the God who's made me and not keep his law and his standards, my sin separated me from God. And the same is true of you. When I was in school, there were some exams I could pass with a pass mark of 40%. You could be 60% wrong and still pass the exam. But God's standard is higher than that. It's 100% perfection all of the time, not just outwardly, but inwardly. So Jesus could say that if you think hateful thoughts in your heart against someone, then God's standard says you have committed the sin of murder in your heart. If all restraints were taken away, you would have murdered that person if there were no consequences. Because God is just and holy and perfect, you and I cannot cross this immense gulf by ourselves. A broken relationship exists between the God who's made us and you and I because we have sinned. And I'm not pointing the finger and saying I am better than anyone else in this room, because I know I heard the good news of Jesus Christ many times and resisted, and that's a great sin. When we were driving up, we drove over the Severn Bridge along the M4. But just imagine if the Severn Bridge wasn't there and there was no ferries to take the car across. It would be futile, wouldn't it, to will the car to find some power so that we could fly across the Severn estuary. It would be nonsense. There would be no way that we could bridge that gap in and of ourselves. Well, that's what the Bible says is true of every human being and everyone in this room, that because of our sin, because of our rebellion against God, there's a gulf that exists that you and I cannot bridge. Just imagine you have a parking fine for £60 and you go to the judge and you say, "Judge, I've heard that you like chocolate cake and I've baked some chocolate cake for you. Will you take this cake in place of the fine that I owe you?" Well, of course, that would not happen. And the sad thing about religion is it's like that. It's outward, isn't it? It's what we can try and do to earn our way back, to cross that gulf by our own strength. It's impossible. Friends, I want to be clear about this tonight. And I want you to hear this. Make sure that you hear this point. There is one way to God, and that one way is in Christ alone, by faith alone in Him. Now, please make sure you don't miss that fundamental point. Some preachers say, forget everything else. Well, I'm not going to say that because everything I'm saying is important, but don't miss this point. The one way is faith alone in Christ alone. Now, if you need that explained any further, please speak to me or to someone else this evening. It's so important that you understand that. This is central to the good news of Jesus Christ. God, out of His amazing, incredible, infinite love, has provided a way for you and me to be forgiven. That the death penalty that we deserve for our sin hasn't fallen upon us. This is the most remarkable thing in the universe. Out of His immense love and grace, God sent His Son into this world so that people like you and me can be forgiven, rescued from hell, brought into a living relationship with God, and given an amazing future and a hope. If you will come to that point of faith alone in Christ alone. That's the claim that Jesus makes. There's a wonderful hymn that summarizes what I've just said. It says, on the cross, where the King of glory died, here is grace. This is undeserved blessing. Here is love flowing from that wounded side. Amazing mystery that He, that's Jesus, should die for me as a perfect sacrifice on the cross, love incarnate on the cross. At the cross, all my sin on Jesus laid, mine the debt, His the cost, by His blood. The price is paid. And through His suffering, that fragrant offering, arms of love are opened wide at the cross, there is healing at the cross. I wonder, what does the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ mean for you? Do you understand it? Have you thought about it? Jesus points to Himself as the way to God, but that way led via the cross. He pointed to Himself as the truth, but that truth involved Himself being a substitute for sin and a savior of needy sinners like you and me. And the life, that's God's life through His Son, given to us as we believe in Christ alone, by faith alone. The Apostle Paul said this, God forbid, or may it never be that I should boast in anything except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop and think about what he says there. Paul, he had an incredible life. Look at the things that he could have boasted about. He could have boasted about the fact that he had a life like Indiana Jones. He traveled the world and changed the world and met with important people. He wrote most of the New Testament. He planted churches. He was mightily used by God. But he says, I want to boast. I want to glory in this one thing. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he realizes it was there that his greatest need was met through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why believe that Jesus is the only way to God? Because he claimed that for himself. Secondly, because of who he is, he's God's eternal Son, and what he did, he died to save and rescue people like you and me. The The third reason why we believe that Jesus is the only way to God is that biblical Christianity is radically different to every other belief system in the world. Out of the 4,200 belief systems in the world, they are essentially divided into two groups. On one side, you've got 4,199 systems that say you can make it if you are devoted enough, if you're good enough, if you pray five times a day, if you are a good person, if you follow the rules and the rituals, you may make it for whatever God you believe in. And then there's biblical Christianity that says you cannot make it by yourself. You are dead in trespasses and sins. You cannot save yourself. In fact, you need to come to an end of trying to save yourself because it's impossible. Like that gulf I've spoken about. You and I, who deserve to be judged and punished, and rightly so for our sin, which is rebellion against an infinitely holy God, can do nothing to save ourselves. But the amazing news of the gospel is that Jesus has done everything that's necessary for you and I to be right with God. That's what marks biblical Christianity out from every other world system. It is God coming to us in and through the person of his Son. It's like being caught in a storm at sea. It's a desperate situation. The lifeboat has been launched. Your ship is powerless, heading towards the rocks of destruction. The lifeboat draws alongside, and you say to the lifeboat crew, well, hang on, I'll try and paddle this super tanker out of danger under my own strength. What a ridiculous situation that would be. Friends, I want to say tonight that God's lifeboat has been launched. And Jesus has come to seek and to save those who are lost. He is the only Saviour. Is he you a Saviour? Have you believed and trusted in him? And if not, why not tonight? If the Lord is speaking to you, will you not come and trust in the Saviour? Will you not confess your sins and say sorry to God and trust in the only one who can make you right with God? Why believe that Jesus is the only way to God? Because he claimed that for himself. Because of who he is and what he did. And because biblical Christianity is radically different to every other belief system. It's not what we can do to reach God, but what God has done to rescue us through his Son. Let me deal with these four objections that some of you may have. Maybe you say, well, that's all well and good, but doesn't it make Christianity just too narrow? Well, my response to that is, just because something is narrow and exclusive does not make it wrong. Life is full of narrow things that are equally true. For example, if you go in an aeroplane, you want the pilot to actually land on the runway, not on the motorway near the runway. You want the pilot to land the right way up, not upside down. Truth is always exclusive of error. 2 plus 2 will always equal 4. It's narrow, it's very narrow, but it's still right, isn't it? Second objection. There are many religions. How can we know which one is right? Well, in a way, I've already answered that objection. But you can believe and commit yourself to what Jesus said, because he is the one who's come from heaven. He has come to reveal and explain God to us. As one man said, he's the exegesis of God. That means he explains God to us. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus Christ. And as we saw this morning, he is the one who is entirely trustworthy because he said he would rise again from the dead, and he did. When you look at the major world faiths. Buddha, he died. Confucius, he died. Muhammad, he died. And yet Jesus Christ is alive. And if you want to know the right way ahead, you don't ask a dead person, do you? You ask the one who is the victor of death, the Lord Jesus Christ. The third objection, well, truth changes from person to person. Some people say, well, it might be true for you, but it's not true for me. That's very common in today's culture, isn't it? But simply believing something cannot make it true, can it? We believe something because it is true. People used to believe that the world was flat. But that didn't make the world flat, did it? It still remained round. And Jesus' statement in John 14, verse 6, "No one comes to the Father except through me," is a universal truth. It applies to every single person in this room and every single person in the world. And since Jesus is God and rose from the dead, he has authority in what he says. The fourth objection is, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. Again, a very common belief today. People say, well, as long as you are sincere in what you believe, well, that's okay. Friends, it's possible to be sincerely wrong, isn't it? Because faith is only as good as the object that faith is placed in. I read a very tragic story that several years ago, a nurse in a large hospital changed an oxygen tank for one of her patients. She sincerely believed she'd done the right thing, and yet the oxygen tank was mislabeled and it had nitrogen in it, and the patient actually died. The nurse was sincere. She put a lot of trust in that tank, but the nitrogen still had terrible consequences for the patient. I could maybe believe that this chair, I could sincerely believe that this chair, if I spend long enough with it, will teach me advanced mathematics. Well, it's not going to happen, is it? Even though I'm so sincere in my belief, it's not going to happen. Because I put my faith in the wrong object. In the same way a person will not get to heaven, will not be made right with God by religion or good works or being a good person or simply just by saying the odd prayer or reading the Bible or those things that are good in and of themselves, they do not make a person right with God. Remember what I've said. It is faith alone in Christ alone. Is that true of you this evening? Let me quote an old hymn. It says this, "Not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal nor respite..." No, that means if I could work and work and work and work and work, that still would not be enough. "Could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone, thou must save and thou alone. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling, naked come to thee for rest. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die." When I was younger, I just passed my driving test and I borrowed my father's car to go camping down the Gower to Rosilli. Maybe some of you have been there. It's a beautiful part of the world. I remember we got the tent out and I was going to get my sleeping bag out of the car and my friend distracted me and I locked the car keys inside the car with all our equipment inside the car. Stranded, what could I do? Well, one thought did occur to me. I could get a stone, smash the window, break in, get my sleeping bag and equipment out and rescue the car keys. But imagine trying to explain that one. So the only thing I could do was make one of those phone calls, admit my need, explain my situation, how helpless it was, and ask my father to bring the spare key down, which he did. Now, if you're not a Christian tonight, You cannot help yourself. You cannot pick up that stone and smash the window. You'll only make matters worse by trying to save yourself. You cannot jump out of an aeroplane without a parachute. You cannot jump into the sea and not be able to swim. Dear friends, biblical Christianity is about recognizing our need, coming to terms with who Jesus is. He's the Son of God, and what he did, he died on the cross to forgive people their sins. And when we recognize that need, he proves himself to be the one way, and we only need one way, to God. Dear friends, can I urge you tonight to be honest with yourself? Why believe that Jesus is the only way to God? Because he's the only one who came to save and rescue people like us and to make us right with God. When you are neediest, he is the most sufficient. When you are completely helpless, he is the most helpful. When you feel totally dependent, he is absolutely dependable. When you are the weakest, he is the most able. When you are the most alone, he is intimately present. When you feel you are the least, he is the greatest. When it is the darkest, he is the light that you need. When you feel the least secure, he can be your rock and your fortress. When you feel you are in need of sins forgiven, he is the most gracious and wonderful Savior. He is, and praise God for this, the way, the truth, and the life. Now, can I ask you in closing, will you come to God the Father through him? For there is no other way.